This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To low Earth orbit, to Starlink, to a price hike, inflation finds planet Earth. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black, is here. Bob knows that I have signed up for a Starlink connection when and if it comes to rural Western Connecticut. Not yet. However, what that means is that you pay $99 to reserve a spot. When it comes to your area, you'll then get the privilege of paying so much per month and so much for the converting boxes, the hardware and software necessary. Why you pay all this money is to have a reliable internet that cannot be taken down because trees fall on wires in forests where I live. However, Bob, a very good evening to you. We begin not in Earth orbit, but on planet Earth. I thought the email was a send-up. No, Starlink is raising its prices. How much, Bob?
Well, you know, to me, a lot of the press has made a big deal about Starlink raising its prices. Yeah, there's slight increases. They've increased about 10, 12% the prices for the monthly charges on the deposit, and also so forth. They've made some increases, and those that had already given a deposit will pay more, but not as much as people who put deposits down now. I don't actually think the big story is Starlink. I think it's a bigger story that SpaceX has finally raised its launch prices for the first time since the company arrived on this earth. In both cases, these Elon Musk companies are stating the reason these prices are going up is because of inflation pressures. And I have no doubt that's true. In case of SpaceX, though, they're raising their price between 8 and 10%, which I think still puts their launch rates, their launch prices, something like 20% less than everybody else. They could double this price rise and still undercut their competition easily because of the reusability they have. But nonetheless, they're raising all their prices from 8 to 10%, so that means it's going to cost a little bit more to put your rocket spacecraft up into orbit using SpaceX. I would still say go to SpaceX. She'll save money. I wish to God there were competitors with them right now. It would help, but there aren't.
Is OneWeb in position to be a competitor when and if it launches?
OneWeb is there. With Starlink, there's no question OneWeb is a competitor. They're a competitor now. They are already beginning to be operational. They only have a third of their constellation to launch. SpaceX is now a contract to launch it. I want to point out that the Russians were launching these satellites 36 at a time once per month. So the six launches necessary to get the 216 satellites up was going to take about 6 months. SpaceX has not signed the deal. There is no reason at all SpaceX can't match its launch rate for Starlink for OneWeb, which means it could do one launch a week, which means instead of, even if SpaceX starts launching in 5 months, they conceivably, they have the ability to launch weekly, or even more, and they could get these things up very fast, and that means OneWeb might have to wait very long for it. But yes, they're competitors with each other.
Dragon.
There's no competitors for the rockets, though. That's the thing. Nobody really competes with SpaceX right now.
The Dragon capsule. Is that seat getting more expensive? Is there inflation in the seat?
Well, right now, I don't think so. The prices for seats there's been no announcement of an increase in prices. There's great competition for seats to get into space right now, not only between NASA. It's getting going to get tighter because right now the Russians are no longer an option. So therefore, only SpaceX can get Western, either commercial or government astronauts into space. SpaceX, however, is about to introduce its fourth manned capsule. It's going to give it a fleet of four capsules. All reusable. And this newest capsule has, by the astronauts who are going to fly it to ISS on April 19th, they have decided to name it Freedom. And they're naming it for two reasons. One, obviously, to honor this fundamental human right that is also fundamental to American history. But they're also naming it in memory to honor the first American spacecraft, Freedom 7, which launched Alan Shepard on his short suborbital flight in 1961. So this is, in a sense, the second American spacecraft to be named Freedom. SpaceX now has a fleet of four spacecraft, Endeavour, Resilience, Endurance, Freedom. Endurance is when it launches the private commercial flight to ISS on April 3rd, for Axiom, it will be flying the third time with people on board, which will be a record. This fleet now, by a private company, now matches the size of NASA's shuttle fleet when it existed. And there's no reason why SpaceX will not build more capsules down the road as the demand increases. And so that's freedom. I think freedom is a very good name for a capsule.
Once upon a time, they held a contest for a lunar lander. SpaceX won that contest, but now, what are they doing, Bob? Are they relaunching the contest?
No. NASA had a competition to choose the builders of the manned lunar lander for its Artemis program. Initially, NASA wanted to have two different companies building so they'd have redundancy. Congress didn't give them money for that. So NASA said, we're not legally allowed to award two contracts in that context. And so they awarded it to SpaceX. Jeff Bezos at Blue Origin, who lost the competition, he didn't like that. And so his best way of getting anything launched is to sue. And he sued to try to get NASA to change its decision and pick a second company. He lost every legal fight he did because, once again, NASA doesn't legally have the right, if they don't get the money appropriated, to award two contracts. But Congress, under pressure from Jeff Bezos and others who lobbied to get more money for this project so they could get a bid, NASA got more money in the most recent budget allocation, and that money was to award a second lunar lander contract. So NASA this week announced that it's going to begin soliciting proposals and recommendations from the private sector for a second lunar lander that would be redundant to Starship from SpaceX. And they haven't picked anybody yet, and nobody has submitted bids, but I guarantee to you the two losers from the previous one, Dianetics and Blue Origin, are going to bid again, and we might see others like Lockheed Martin or Northrop Grumman submit their own bids as well. And at the same time, they've revised, though they're not really clear on this, but they've revised SpaceX's contract with Starship, which I think is going to mean an additional manned mission to the moon on that first contract, and then they're going to open up competitive bidding for future contracts with both SpaceX and these other companies. But either way, we're going to get a second one. I don't know where we're getting the money. We print it, but we're going to get a second lunar lander.
Bob, for some time you've developed a dramatic theme of trouble at Blue Origin, perhaps because it's management heavy, perhaps because they lost the original contest with SpaceX, and the headlines with SpaceX, but you're now reporting more trouble, a manager leaving the company, and delays. How so?
All right, this all comes down once again to the BE-4 rocket engine. Blue Origin was supposed to have this rocket engine finished and ready and flight-worthy in 2020, 2 years ago, for use in its New Glenn orbital rocket and in ULA's new orbital rocket, Vulcan. And it's been 2 years behind schedule, and I've been documenting, as you say, that it's constant delays over the last few years. Well, there were two stories this last few days related to the BE-4 engine. First, the man in charge of Blue Origin's rocket engine division has decided to leave the company to spend more time with his family. Blue Origin said nice things about him as he left, but I wonder if he's leaving because Jeff Bezos has kind of gotten sick and tired of the delays involved with getting the BE-4 engine going. That story ties in with the fact that they're not going to be delivering flight-worthy engines to ULA until May at the earliest. ULA is saying it's going to get Vulcan launched this year. I completely doubt that. They get the engine in May, June. They're going to need more than 6 months to maybe able to be safely launch their rocket, but they're still trying to get it launched by the end of the year. Blue Origin, though, has admitted now that because of these engine delays, their New Glenn rocket will be delayed again until next year. It won't launch in 22. That puts it 3 years behind schedule. These delays for both ULA and Blue Origin, because of the delays in the BE-4 engine, has cost both companies dearly because, for example, had each been operational as planned beginning in 20, they would have been able to compete for the launch contracts that OneWorld had and had lost from the Russians. Instead, they weren't around, so SpaceX got all that business. And so these companies have got to get on the ground, and Blue Origin is the reason they're not yet. Can't get that engine built.
A lot of booster competition. This one, Ursa Major, it's a startup. What is its mission, Bob?
Ursa Major is maybe showing us why that Blue Origin shouldn't be having so many problems. Ursa Major is a rocket engine company created, it's a startup, created very recently, only in the last few years, by a former SpaceX rocket engine engineer. The man who runs this company had worked on the Merlin engine for SpaceX. He left the company, started his own company to build rocket engines to sell to other companies. You know, basically be similar to like Rocketjet Aerodyne. May not be a rocket company, but a rocket engine company you sell to others. Well, they are beginning to deliver engines to their customers after a few years of development, and they're doing it to two different customers. One is a company called Phantom Space, and the other is Stratolaunch. Now, Phantom Space is one of these many, many small sat rocket companies, wants to put up small satellites, and so it's going to use seven of those, this Ursa Major engines called the Hadley engine in its first stage. Stratolaunch, meanwhile, is the company that has built that giant plane, Rock, and it's going to be using that Rock to test hypersonic technologies. So they're going to be using it for that, not to launch satellites. So this is just a startup that's actually selling and building and making available engines, unlike Blue Origin.
Another commercial space enterprise joining with a major industrial power, Mitsubishi. What is the mission, Bob?
Sierra Space, John, in case you don't remember, is the company building Dream Chaser.
Yes, I remember. That
reusable mini shuttle that's going to be used to bring cargo up and down to ISS. And it will eventually, I hope, be upgraded to a manned vessel.
Bob, I wanted to mention that years ago, this was the cutest entry into orbital boosters. The Mini-Me shuttle. That's what the Sierra Space's little booster craft looked like.
Shuttle,
yeah. Looks like.
Yeah, well, they have a partnership with Blue Origin and others to build a private space station called Orbital Reef. Sierra Space is one of the, its deal is to provide transportation up and down to this private commercial space station. Well, Space has now signed a contract, a partnership with Mitsubishi in Japan to work on developing technology to be used on Orbital Reef. And what I find interesting about this is Mitsubishi's main contribution to space these days is building the rockets that Japan uses. And so why would Sierra Space be signing a contract with Mitsubishi? Well, the press release is somewhat vague about what they're going to do, but it strikes me that possibly Sierra Space is looking for an alternative rocket to Blue Origin's New Glenn, because they might have doubts it's going to be ready on time. And that's why they've signed this partnership. Either way, that's the case. They're bringing in another big name to help build this Orbital Reef Space Station, and I wish them luck. I really want to see it happen.
Firefly, this wins the award every time for best name for a commercial space enterprise. It dates to a series that never got off the ground, but I always enjoyed it. It was a combination cowboy movie and space alien contest called Firefly. But this has nothing to do with Hollywood. This is an ongoing operation that just raised a lot of money. Does that mean that the investor class has decided to spread the money around and not pour it all into SpaceX now?
Oh, John, I've been reporting this with you now for like 10 years. This is less than 3 years. The investor community has been spreading their money around all over the place. There's been almost 100 rocket startup companies trying to compete with Rocket Lab and Virgin Orbit and others and Astra to be in the small sat rocket industry as well as larger satellites. Well, Firefly is one of those companies that's beginning as a small sat company, but it will eventually upgrade to larger satellites, and it's really aimed at that. They've raised $75 million in a new round of investment capital funding, and they're now targeting May for their next launch attempt. They tried one last year. The launch was a failure, but that's okay. It was their first attempt. They're going to try a second launch of their Alpha rocket in May. They had a problem because one of their major investors was Ukrainian, and the Defense Department had decided that he could not own any of the company and launch from Vandenberg, which is where Firefly wishes to launch. And so that man, Max Polyakov, had to sell off his stock completely, divest himself from the company before Firefly could proceed. Well, Polyakov, who had saved the company from bankruptcy and likes the company a lot and likes the people running it, he handed his stock over to Firefly for a dollar, so they could get going again. And he's off doing his entrepreneurial work in other places now. And so they're going to launch in May, hopefully, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. When we come back, Surface of Mars. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.